The majority of student loans are paid back on time. However, 1 out of 8 loans goes into default. It's no surprise that many of the borrowers have low incomes. Lawmakers in the House will vote this week on legislation to overhaul the student loan program. One change would make sure students can manageably repay their loans no matter how paltry their paychecks. NPR's Libby Lewis went to Sioux City, Iowa, to profile one person whose situation is the kind lawmakers want to remedy.
There are different ways to measure Dan Loser's life. One of them is his student debt.
1986, $17,000 owed, about, ballpark. 1990, $20,266.26.
25 years ago, Dan Loser borrowed $15,000 in student loans to go to divinity school. He's paid back lots more than that. He still owes nearly twice as much. Pastor Dan's retirement fund is a standing joke here at Mayflower Congregational United Church of Christ. Like at this women's fellowship meeting, they're discussing how to use the money in the treasury.
Pastor Dan thinks he wants his retirement. That'll just cover my vacation next week.
The most money Dan Loser's ever made is $25,000 a year. In his job, he counsels cash-strapped parishioners. He works at the soup kitchen. He buries the souls who died with nothing in the pauper cemetery by the river. Loser got his divinity degree in 1984. It took 3 years to get his first pastor's job. He worked odd jobs for minimum wage. His monthly bills for his student loans were nearly half his income. He couldn't pay them, so he dodged it. He knows he made a mistake. He says he felt overwhelmed.
Just looking at the amount owed and the amount made, it's sort of like I'm hoping this thing goes away, I mean, frankly.
By the time he gave his first sermon, he was already in default. That meant his debt snowballed with penalties and fees, all of it piling up interest. It's debt with no way out, short of paying up or dying. Loser's in his crowded little office now, wading through 20 years of paper.
It's like a stroll down memory lane in a way. A sick way, but a way.
He says all he ever wanted was a way to repay his debt in a way he could afford. But Loser got caught in the world of the collectors. The government uses private collection agencies to pursue students who default. By law, those collectors are supposed to help students work out their debts, even people with tiny paychecks, like pastors. But those private collectors also are geared to make a profit. They get 19 cents of every dollar a student repays. After he defaulted, Loser says he got serious and made his payments on time for 2 years. Then the government assigned his loan to another collection agency.
I suddenly get these things saying, you owe it now.
As Loser's debt ratcheted up, he was earning just above the poverty line. The calls kept coming. His marriage faltered. Loser thought about suicide. He taps the table nervously as he remembers.
Well, you remember that scene in It's a Wonderful Life when he says you're worth more dead than alive? It's like, I'd be out of debt.
But he kept preaching. In 1999, the government began garnishing Loser's wages from his church, 10 cents of every dollar from his paycheck. It was embarrassing.
But it's key to income, so it's fair.
But then he had to move to another church, and the garnishment stopped. The collectors came back. Consumer expert Deanne Lunan says she hears these stories all the time. The education department says private collectors are better at collecting money from debtors than the government is. But Lunan thinks it's counterproductive to use them with debtors like Dan Loser, people who don't make much money, but who want to work out a way to repay.
And instead of dealing with an eager, willing partner in negotiations, they're with a collection agency who just do what collection agencies tend to do, which is pressure people to pay.
Loser convinced the education department to let him pay them directly, $215 a month. He'll still be paying in the year 2029. Congress is considering a bill to allow borrowers like Loser repay at a rate they can afford, no matter how little money they make. There are other ways to measure Dan Loser's life than his debt. His work, for instance. Today he's visiting Irma Zimmerman. She's 76, one of his parishioners at Mayflower. Her husband died of Alzheimer's. She lives alone now. She lights up when she sees us. Loser's brought her Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning.
Okay.
This is the book.
I'm like the one on forgiveness, too.
Later, Dan Loser drives me to the Pauper Cemetery, where he buried T.C. Colbert of Sioux City a while back. We round the corner, and the first thing in sight is a half dozen wild turkeys. They're staked like sentinels on the hill above the paupers' graves. We clamber up the hill, and they scatter. Loser remembers 75 people showing up for Colbert's funeral, but he died in debt, and Dan Loser knows he will too. Libby Lewis, NPR News.